Right.
Right. What's that meaning to do?
I'm glad Matt Karab doesn't happen to be here today. I think he's on an airplane right now headed to the East Coast, so I envy him. And it's not work, it's his vacation.
That's even better.
Makes it even better. I'd like to get today's meeting. I don't have any opening comments of my own from the chair, but the question is, do any of you members of the committee have something that you'd like to bring up before the meeting?
No one does?
If not, the next item is the approval of the minutes from the meeting of May 14th.
I have a couple corrections.
Okay, did you get those written down, or?
I'm sorry, what?
Can you tell us what they are?
Yeah, Matt asked me to read them and then provide reminder. And this is no reflection on the note takers, just that I tend to be long-winded and they're very confusing comments. So I just want to make sure they're clear. So I'll read the whole comment, and I just made some corrections within that. So one was, how would the analysis be done looking at the life cycle impacts of some of these facilities? How does that pencil out? And what are the environmental benefits of the new technologies versus continuing to landfill? I'm hoping that's part of the broader assessment. And then the second comment was, in a previous report, Metro anticipated impacts of population growth, including projections for climate refugees to the region. As Metro wants to support adaptability, our potential climate change impacts, including the potential for reduced consumption due to forecasts for scarcer resources, considered. How is Metro projecting growth? So there, just clarification.
Okay, you pass it over here. Can I hear a motion for approval of the minutes as amended?
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
You all were saying, all right. Okay, first speaker today is the head of regulatory affairs at Metro, Roy Brower, who's going to the council with some changes to our regulatory code. I think he claims they're all minor changes. I'll let him tell you about them.
Thank you. I will hold to that claim. These are seven and possibly eight ordinances that will go to the Metro Council in July. This is more of a structural change than it is a substantive change. This is part of our intention to make the code a little more flexible, nimble, and more logically organized. And for those of you who actually work with the code occasionally, you know how sort of unwieldy the code can be. We're also looking to improve the consistency and the accessibility and usability of the code. And so there's no intention here of changing any of our current practices or policies or regulatory requirements. This is really just structural stuff, but I wanted the committee to be aware of these changes, because when you get when you see the council packet with eight ordinances, it looks like something really big is happening. Well, it isn't that big, but I'll let you know what we're doing. I did send out a copy of a letter when Matt set out the agenda, so you should have all received a copy of this that provides a very brief summary of the changes, and I'll just step through those real briefly, and then if you have any questions, happy to answer those. The first major change is we're going to consolidate all the solid waste definitions into a new chapter called Solid Waste Definitions. All the other definitional sections throughout Title V, which is the part of the code that contains the solid waste requirements, will be repealed. And so this has had the effect of eliminating a lot of duplicate definitions. In fact, we're eliminating about 60 definitions currently in the code. I think we're being left with, 95, Warren? And it's just where we've taken, the definition of person or act or metro, and we've defined it slightly differently in, four different places. So we're cutting through that, getting all these definitions consolidated, and we think this will improve consistency in the future as we adopt new code language. Second item is we're taking, and any of you who have applied for a license or a franchise, you know how sort of difficult it can be to figure out what you need to do and how you need to respond to questions or requirements. We're taking the licensing and the franchising provisions and we're basically disaggregating them. We're moving them into two separate sections within the code, one for licensing and one for franchising. So that should be a little clearer once you go through whether you're exempt or not, and if you're not exempt, whether you need a license or a franchise. But then when you get into if you need a license, it'll be clearly spelled out what your licensing requirements are. We're also repealing Chapter 503, which is a chapter on franchise fees, which we don't use and haven't used for many years because it's already covered in 501. So that's one chapter that will be completely deleted. We're also changing the process for how designated facilities get listed. And as some of you may know, in Chapter 505, we have each individual, and these are for out-of-region facilities, each one is listed individually within the code. We're getting rid of that individual listing, and in lieu of that, we're going to have our council adopt that list once every 5 years through resolution rather than through individually listing each one in an ordinance in the code. We think this will streamline it. This will give the council the opportunity to suggest additions or deletions to the list. We will still allow anyone who wants to become listed as a designated facility to apply to become designated within that five-year period. This establishment of the list doesn't limit that ability. It doesn't also limit the ability to delete facilities if a facility goes out of business or no longer takes metro area waste. This doesn't change how the agreements get negotiated. The agreements will still be negotiated by the COO, so administratively. So, we're also moving a section having to do with who is not subject to payments under the regional system fee, which somehow at some point in time got placed in Chapter 501 regarding solid waste regulations. We're moving it to 502 pretty much in whole, which is the chapter that deals with disposal charges and user fees. We are also actually deleting for the first time three specific designated facilities, those being Lakeside Reclamation in Hillsboro, which is now closed. Cedar Grove Compost in Washington, facilities no longer taking metro area waste, and Weyerhaeuser Landfill, which is changed ownership. It's now owned by Cowlitz County. And Cowlitz County is, we've been talking to Cowlitz County, they may come in and seek designation as a facility on their own, but Weyerhaeuser listing will be deleted. The last change, and I guess this is directly applicable to this group, is a name change for this committee is going to be this current Solid Waste Advisory Committee. It will be known at some point as the Solid Waste Alternatives Advisory Committee to better reflect the responsibilities of this group. So any questions about that? I'll go through the next steps here in a minute, but I'll stop here for questions for a minute.
I had more of a comment. Lakeside, you characterized it as closed. Well, I mean, certainly it is closed as a landfill, but just so everyone's clear, it remains open as a composting facility.
Yard debris.
Yard debris.
Yes. Yes, and currently in the metro system, yard debris can flow freely without non-system licenses or to designated facilities. So.
Okay. Any other questions from the committee?
Okay.
None. Go ahead.
Next steps. Ordinance, code changes, staff reports are going to be filed early next week with the council office. The first read on these ordinances will be July 17th. The second read, public hearing, and decision is scheduled for July 24th. Normally, these items are not available to preview until a week before the first reading. But we are working, many of you may know, we have a new website. I don't know if anybody's looked at that yet. But it's supposedly more user-friendly. It probably is on your iPad or your phone. I'm not sure it is on a computer, but don't record that. No. Anyway, we're trying to figure out a way to get a button in there someplace so that you can link to that as early as hopefully next week, and you can review any of this material that you care to review ahead of time. So we're trying to give you plenty of time. If you have comments, if you have suggestions, if you have things that we may have missed or unintentionally, you know, deleted or edited or whatever. If that fails, we will send you a link and you'll be able to access it that way. So we're trying to get it to you early. We'll see how it works. Stay tuned. Thanks.
Thank you, Roy. Now for the star of today's meeting. Jennifer Erickson, she's been in Metro longer than I have, working on organics for she's going to give us the first of two presentations. This one's more on background, what's going on. The key up next month's meeting, where she'll be back to go into another, to a different set of details. So, Jennifer?
Thank you. I'm going to pass a sheet around, which I will refer to later, so don't get too absorbed in it right away. We'll talk about it kind of halfway through, but I wanted to get it distributed. As Paul mentioned, what I want to do, hopefully this works. There we go. Okay, oops. Sorry about that. So today's meeting, as Paul mentioned, is... Whoops. I think there's a little delay. I think I'll wait. Okay. So what I'd like to do today, if I can get this thing to respond to me as it should. Sorry. Okay. There we go. Is to provide some context and background leading into next meeting and describe the project approach and schedule that we're working under right now, and to really prepare you for the next meeting in July, which will be a much, much more in-depth discussion of this project. So this is just kind of a grounding meeting. It's an opportunity to kind of set the stage, and then we'll move on from there. So this is part of the Solid Waste Roadmap project. You've already talked with probably Rob and Chuck about two other roadmap projects. This one is specifically about food scraps processing capacity. And the question we're trying to answer as part of the roadmap project is, what actions should Metro take to ensure there's adequate and proximate capacity to transfer and process food scraps collected from the region's businesses and residents? As with other roadmap projects, this is a forward-looking project to help us determine the actions that Metro is best positioned to take. In this case, to ensure access to food scraps processing capacity of whatever nature. So the objective of this project is to develop a number of alternatives for increasing processing capacity, and those alternatives will be provided to Council for their consideration and their future direction. So, very much like I said, the other roadmap projects that you have discussed recently, it's intended to develop a number of alternatives that would the council would then consider, give direction to staff on how to proceed. It's also very intertwined with the other roadmap projects. For example, the long-term management options will be influenced by the amount of food scraps projected to be in the waste or out of the waste in the waste stream post-2019. And the Metro South Station design considerations are influenced by the need to manage food scraps into the future. So we're not looking at processing capacity in a vacuum here. This is an integrated effort to ensure an overall and sustainable food recovery system, one that generates enough high-quality material to make processing facilities viable, one that looks at our existing transfer system, the entire transfer system, and one that has enough processing capacity to allow collection program growth over time. The project has two phases. We're following the same structure as the other roadmap projects. The first phase is to develop that suite of alternatives, and then the second phase is to, depending on council direction, narrow that group of alternatives for an in-depth examination. So the regional context of this, sort of the why are we looking at this? Our efforts in the organics arena are guided by the policy direction of the Regional Solid Waste Management Plan, which identifies food scraps as one of the region's priority targets for additional recovery. Food is a priority due both to its prevalence in the waste stream and the environmental benefits that come from recovering it. Although we have both the policy and the desire to recover more food scraps, the reality is that the region still lacks the capacity to do so. So the little sheet I gave you kind of gives you some context of where we are today, or where we were in 2009, 2010, which is some of the more recent data that we have, where it comes from and how much we're currently recovering. So as you can see, the most recent waste composition data from 2009-2010 tells us that the region disposed of over 200,000 tons of food scraps annually. This represents 19% of the disposed waste stream, which is by far the single largest component of our disposed waste stream in the region. In comparison, the next highest component is all categories of wood, including furniture, which represents 10% of the disposed waste stream. The next one down would be packaging paper at 7%. So as you can see, food scraps is big. It doesn't include the significant industrial sources that do not currently enter our waste stream, so food processors and others that don't currently use our solid waste system, which is significant as well. In looking at the same data, we estimate that commercially generated food scraps represents about 55% of that 206,000 tons. And residential is the remaining 45%. Currently, we recover about 33,500 tons of food scraps annually, 28,000 of that from the commercial sector and 5,500 from residential, keeping in mind that those residential tons are mixed with almost 80,000 tons of yard debris. While 33,500 tons per year sounds pretty good, it's only 16% of the food scraps that we dispose. So this isn't a new thing. As Paul mentioned, I've been here a long time and working on food scraps for a long time. So going back to the 90s, we've experimented with varying levels of public involvement, from aggressive financial incentives to a really laissez-faire approach of letting the private sector take the lead on food scraps collection and processing. Just because some of these efforts didn't result in a stable long-term processing capacity doesn't mean they're failures. We learned an awful lot. And a lot of times the issue has really been timing. We've tried pilot projects. I don't know if any of you remember when we sent Safeway food scraps out to Arlington and Waste Management composted them out there in 1996. We hosted a mobile thermotech digestion unit at Metro Central Station in 1997-98. We entered a cooperative procurement with Portland, I think that was in 99 or 2000. We offered up almost $1 million in processing capacity grants in the early 2000s. We had an RFP and a contract with Cedar Grove Composting. We've talked with wastewater treatment plants, and Metro has engaged in some pretty significant facility siting attempts with our partners at the Port of Portland. So one of the key things here was really Metro's contract with Cedar Grove. That enabled Metro Central Station to reinforce its role in the food scraps recovery system. We spent a lot of time and effort working through the ways to best handle a really challenging waste stream. And a third-party contractor in a station that still needed to serve all existing customers with kind of a you know, not a station that was built to deal with this stuff and not equipment that was designed to deal with it. The Cedar Grove contract gave enough stability to the system for Portland to invest in and launch its collection program that now serves about 900 businesses, I think. Ariane, am I about right? We had enough capacity available to allow for other jurisdictions to begin pilot-scale programs, but we didn't have enough capacity to allow them to implement full-scale programs. Unfortunately, Cedar Grove's development of a local site didn't come to fruition despite good faith efforts and Metro's assistance with looking for suitable sites within the region. Cedar Grove's disinterest in continuing to serve the region under the existing contract terms again reinforced the need for a stable, local, long-term solution. So what's our recent and current system? So by 2010, we looked to be pretty well positioned with significant private investments in the region by Republic at its Pacific Region Composting Facility and Recology, an experienced company from the Bay Area entering the local market by acquiring Nature's Needs, with a priority on developing food scraps processing, and Columbia Biogas on the horizon based on Council's approval of a franchise for that facility. So things were looking pretty darn good in 2010. But the loss of Nature's Needs as a processor for commercial food scraps, for reasons that I expect everyone's familiar, was a significant setback for the region. And the fact is Columbia Biogas has yet to be built. The addition of JC Biomethane last year was extremely helpful, but we don't have adequate and stable capacity, even with JC Biomethane, to service into the near future, much less the long term. So does anybody have any questions so far that I can answer? What is that? That's a grocery store load, just in case you're wondering. Okay, so now into what is our estimated, what are the estimated gaps? So I've been telling you we don't have the capacity needed to serve the region into the future, so what does that mean? So here are some estimates of those capacity gaps for the commercial sector to give you a sense of scale. And this is just commercial tons. The project that we're looking at is looking at commercial and residential tons. But this is just to give you an idea of the commercial tons. So this is also illustrated in the handout I gave you. We think we have about 2,000 tons of currently available capacity, meaning a very low rate of program growth could be accommodated if our existing system remains as it is today. Anything beyond a low program expansion can't be managed, meaning little to no opportunity for the entire region to participate meaningfully in recovery. Any questions about these numbers? No? Okay. I'm going to whiz through this real quick if you don't have any questions, which is probably good. So what are the goals of this project that we're working on right now? And I'm going to take a quick moment to introduce Lindsay Lopez over in the corner from CH2ML. She is the project manager who's working with us on this project. So she's also available to answer any questions that you may have. So what are the goals of this project? So first is to identify alternatives that would increase available food scraps processing capacity for the region. The second goal is to really focus on the broad range of alternatives for the roles that Metro can play in this equation. And I think that's really important to remember, that it's looking at what is Metro's role in making these things happen. So lack of capacity, as I mentioned, is really the key driver for this project. In order to maximize recovery and provide equal opportunity for program participation in the region, we're working to identify alternatives that would increase available food scraps processing. and focusing on the roles that Metro could play in securing that capacity. When I come back to you next month, we'll be reviewing and discussing specifically some of those alternatives that we've developed in the interim time. As I mentioned, Metro's brought CH2M Hill on board to help us with this challenging task, and we're looking forward to working with them on this project. So what is the project scope for Phase 1? Phase 1 is really looking at developing, identifying, and assessing alternatives. As I mentioned earlier, you have, like the other roadmap project, it's very similar in our approach. We'll consider alternatives that result in completely new capacity and those that leverage additional capacity at existing private or public facilities. We're taking a broad systems perspective and integrating all aspects of the region's solid waste system, influences, and interrelationships. So, we're, like I said before, we're not looking at food scraps processing in a vacuum. We're looking at it from an entire systems perspective. Keep in mind this very important point. This work does not involve facility siting or discussion of any specific location, but it will include factors that may affect siting, such as land use laws, zoning ordinances, and other issues at a very general level. So at this stage of the process, it's conceptual. As I mentioned, we're aiming to have a suite of probably five alternatives that we're going to look at seriously that have some meat to them, and that we want to refine those and narrow them to three to take to the Metro Council. However, the Council may say, we want to see all five. You know, why did you, you know, which, what were they? You know, like we've done with the solid waste disposal system planning. You saw a whole suite of alternatives and understood why some were taken off the table. So phase two, as I said, is the in-depth analysis. And that's basically looking at those refined list of alternatives, and it's really going to be implemented based on council direction. The council could direct us to investigate all three, a small subset, or they may ask us to look at others, or they may say, no, not going to do anything. So finally, what is the schedule for this project? It's a pretty tight timeline for a lot of work. The next meeting is July 9th. We'll meet with you to talk specifically about these alternatives, get your feedback. We have another discussion October 16th with Councilors Harrington and Stacy, who are our advisors for this project. And then on October 28th, we have a full council work session where we will bring them those alternatives for discussion. By the end of June, we'll have enough information on some draft alternatives that will likely be developed further. And I'll be back to you where we'll have as much that's this in-depth discussion. And I will send you any relevant materials as far in advance as I can. But keeping in mind the tight schedule, we may have to get them to you a day or two in advance, but we'll try our best. So at the next SWAC meeting, these are kind of the key things we're going to be asking you to consider. So when you do get materials from me, focus on these three things. The appropriate government role in these scenarios. Is it appropriate? Are there fatal flaws that you see in any of the alternatives that we've missed? And what really are the policy implications of any of these? What will they mean to the Metro Council, and what would your recommendations to the Council be based on some of the policy implications? That's kind of all I have. Does anybody have any questions? Comments?
Let's start at the table. Comments? Some questions? Well, if not, is there anybody in the public that would like to make a comment? Harry.
So the potential capacity needed on the diagram, so the most amount of capacity that you're looking for is like the very high program expansion still only processes 66,000 tons of food scraps per year.
That's commercial food scraps. So our goal is to have capacity for commercial and residential. And that was just an example of if we were looking at commercial only, we would need that much capacity for the commercial program. And that's based on the numbers there are based on employment data of based on the NAICS codes, you know, the number of employees in food generating businesses, and it does account for growth over time.
What time frame?
We're hoping, we're looking within 1 to 7 years. In other words, you know, we want to provide a range of alternatives that may be a quick, we could do some small adjustments that may result in a small amount of additional capacity that may be a bridge to something larger. We gave ourselves 7 years in case there needed to be something much larger. But it's a wide range of, you know, is there something we can do in the next year or two? Is there something that will take us 7 years? Are there five things that will, you know, that will end up on a schedule of here's the first thing we're going to do, it's going to take 2 years. Here's the second thing, this will take 5 years. So it's kind of wide open right now.
I guess I have a question. Dave?
Yeah.
It seems that there's a big chicken and the egg kind of thing here.
Well, there are.
State the obvious.
Yeah.
You're talking about capacity, and I'm assuming it's needed capacity, but it also assumes that when you build it, they will come. Another analogy.
Right.
And I'm attending meetings at Washington County that apply to projects. You know, it's happening in Gresham, it's happening in Beaverton, it's happening in Lake Oswego. Programs are trying to get started, and then we're talking a lot about the cost of those programs, the cost to the generator, the cost implications for rates. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I mean, the RS1 said it's a good thing to do, but I think the jury's kind of still out, maybe, not to speak for elected officials, but on these programs. And so are you going to somehow evaluate? Is part of this saying, how are you going to deal with that? I'm really struggling with how you're going to deal with that. We need 60,000 tons per year just on the commercial side, and then we got the residential thing going on. So we need all this capacity, and then you build, get find it, you build these things, and then we don't have the programs to support it. We're going to know. I think we're going to know probably in the next couple of years. So how does that get factored into your study?
Well, there's two things. One is that is if you recall last year, SWAC directed us, and I think it was your idea.
Oh, right.
to
probably
part of Metro's role is to continue to support the development of local government collection programs financially, and we do that. We still do that. We budget every year for money to help fund staff to develop collection programs, to do the training. We have provided funding to jurisdictions to help them buy the equipment. We have given grants to businesses to help them buy equipment or alter their practices. We help remodel docks, things like that that enable them to participate in the program. And as I mentioned, it's a system-wide look, so we're not just looking at capacity. We're looking at the how the entire system has to function in order to have a long-term organics recovery program. So every element has to be, you know, because without one, the rest falls apart. And you're right, it is a chicken and the egg. It's, you know, there's a, we need capacity, well, we need tons. Well, we're trying to bring that together kind of at the same time. And our estimates on the commercial sector, these numbers you saw are actually pretty conservative. It talks about, I mean, some of these are the percentage of businesses that will actually participate, and then the percentage of those, what, how much of their material will they be successfully separating. So some of these estimates are relatively conservative in our program growth. So it is, it's a tough nut to crack. It's, I agree with you, but we're trying to really look at it from a systems perspective.
Can I follow up on the systems issue? And that's really helpful, and I think you need to do that. Will you then be going into, maybe in this report, not just here are five options or three options, and then the council gives you direction? And are you going to be looking at, we got to make sure we have enough flow, we have enough material, and the way to do that and make recommendations on flow, recommendations on subsidies, maybe local governments need to subsidize the commercial aspect, but you're going to get into that too.
We're going to get into everything from material quantity, quality, generation, incentives, how we get the material, do we use rules and regulations and legal authority, do we use funding, it looks at all of the tools that we have available in the region.
Mandates.
All of that is on the table, and I think what's going to happen is we're developing a way to evaluate all of those different options. present them to the council and say, okay, council, if we choose to do it this way, it's going to be a real heavy lift politically for you because this is not going to go over well with some of your partners. Or, council, this is going to cost a lot of money. Are you interested in spending the money on this? So the options will look at all these different things, and I expect that they will be arranged from a relatively light lift from the Metro standpoint to something that may be very challenging and may cause a lot of heartburn for a lot of people, but would get us to that point. And that's a decision they have to make of how far they want to push it, what they want our system to look like in relationship with everything else that's going on. So, yeah, there's some big decisions that are going to need to be made. So, yeah, it'll be interesting.
That would help.
I think I saw another hand waving in the back at one point. Anybody else have a question?
I was a question of how you're going to look at the collection system as part of it. So I think you answered that pretty well. Thank you.
Okay.
Would this be the right venue to throw out ideas that might come from another region of the country?
We're exploring those. Part of this project is to look at other cases in the country and actually other places outside the country to provide us with some case studies, not just random case studies, but case studies that would be very applicable to our situation here, which is quite unique with the way our system is built. All of the public-private partnerships, the multiple jurisdictions. So we're really looking for not just, oh, so-and-so has this really cool system, but there's no way we could do it here because, all they have to do is flip a switch. So we're looking for case studies that really, as closely as possible, mimic our system in our region here, which is going to be challenging.
So, Jennifer, I remember one of the last Slack meetings that we had where we talked about this topic. And you presented information on, food donation and the role that food rescue or whatever, however you want to characterize it, plays. And also we talked about banning food from, which would be kind of a potential that Metro might be considered. Are those also part of this analysis that you're doing?
Absolutely. Those key recommendations, they were milestones that SWAC set at the end of last year that were very strong. One of them was continue to assist and to promote food rescue, which we still do. The Fork It Over program has moved. We've moved management of it to Portland State University. We still financially support it, and we're still connected with it. But they have done a lot to improve the website and the program and outreach. So that was a good move, moving it to somebody else to manage it. And as Dave mentioned, when we talked with SWAC, the two things that were key were continue to support local jurisdiction efforts, which we are doing, and examine disposal bans, and that is on the table. So those things have moved from the last SWAC meeting into this project as well.
Yeah. Anyone else want to ask a question or make a comment?
So be prepared to dig in July. I will get you as much information as I can. I look at Lindsay because we'll both be kind of scrambling to really get some stuff in front of you as soon as we can. It might be a little sketchy at that point, but we'll keep you involved. There is the potential that if we need to, there might be a little bit of time at your August meeting for us to come back and fill in some gaps or answer any questions that you may have had that we hadn't been able to answer in July. So that's where we're at, and I thank you for your time.
Okay. This has been amazingly efficient, especially considering the fact that
lunchtime.
We'll make sure we let Matt know.
Jennifer took care of telling me what the next meeting is about. It's my job. I'm glad she did it, though. I guess I'm not going to complain about getting an hour back, over an hour back in my day. I hope you don't mind either. We appreciate the fact that you came, and I think Jennifer's going to dive in a lot more with you next time, and that was part of the goal today, was to prep you for next time to start thinking about what's actually a very difficult and complex subject to how it can go together in our complex system. If you have nothing else, we're adjourned. Thank you.
Yeah.
We're talking about emergency
travel.
So, I think to Swan. There's a workshop up there. Overview of mixed waste working and recovery. And I just did that.
So I'm just saying, there's no questions because I'm thinking, I think it's just.
We're very high in the district. So,